The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, what are the best ways to manage conflict in the office? What problems are employers facing across navigating discrimination in the modern workplace? All things we get to ask our expert this week, Moira Grassick from Peninsula Ireland, company specialising in human relations and legal advice in the workplace. Moira, good morning and welcome.
Morning, Pat.
Let's start with changes that are afoot. Legislation regarding sick leave and parental leave. What advice for employers? Because for many of them, this is onerous.
Yeah, so we've had some changes in relation to the sick leave. So the statutory sick pay came into play last year. And that's due to increase over the next couple of years, up to 10 days. It'll go to 7 days in January of next year. We had an increase in parents' leave just from the 1st of August to 9 weeks. So from an employer's perspective, obviously there's a lot of administration work, policies, procedures, updating their employees. So several different areas that they need to address, and also the employees need to be made aware of things that are available to them as well.
Now, parents' leave, there's nothing much you can do about that as an employer because you're a parent and you're entitled to that leave. In terms of sick leave, the suspicion is that people just take it as holidays.
Yeah, and I mean, we obviously see quite a lot of cases in relation to sick leave through our advice line. However, you know, you do need to manage it appropriately. Everybody's entitled to be sick. And people do get sick on and off. But when you start seeing things like a pattern, so for example, somebody may be sick every Monday or every Friday, those are the type of things that you need to start addressing when you see that people may be taking more sick leave than the average person may.
But in terms of what an employer is entitled to ask, you know, and if you've got a company doctor, for example, can you insist that the person who claims to be sick goes to the company doctor?
You can have it in a policy, so you need to have a policy in place to say that you can request your employee to go to either the company doctor or alternatively that they may get a report from their own doctor outlining exactly what the issue is. Normally you'll see that in cases where somebody may have sporadic leave and it's different type of absences, but then you'll also have somebody who may have a longer term illness and you'll need to manage that through an occupational health and a doctor's report as well.
But is the employer entitled in law to see the content of a doctor's diagnosis?
Only with the consent of the employee. So what the employee will need to do...
So the employee says, I'm sick, that's it. You can't know what I'm sick with.
It's difficult and it can be challenging. The employer can obviously ask the question, but the employee doesn't necessarily have to give you that information back.
So what's the use in that?
So the main thing is that you need to do is make sure that you're having those conversations, explaining the impact of their absence that they may have in the workplace when they're not there, because obviously other employees need to pick up their work and try and manage it through that process. You should also have a policy in place that says if the employee is out for a certain amount of time, they may need to go through some sort of disciplinary process or investigation, etc. And you manage it through that process too.
Now, the whole HR function, it's sold, I suppose, to the employees as this is a service to you guys to make sure that your workplace is happy. But really, isn't the HR person the creature of the employer?
It's trying to get that balance right. So you're the link between the employer and the employee.
No, but I mean, is a HR executive who's paid for, wages are paid by the employer, likely to face that employer down?
The thing is that the whole process around employment law and HR is that it's fair and it's transparent. And it's the HR role to make sure that that policy is fair, transparent, and the employee gets the opportunity to put their case forward in different circumstances. And likewise, it's also their responsibility to ensure that the employer is following the regulations that are there and the rules that they've put in place.
Mm-hmm. A number of questions coming in. Two of my employees from the same team have approached me to tell me they are in a serious relationship. Do I need to do anything here or just ignore it?
It depends on the circumstances. So you'll see in some companies, they will have a policy in place that employees need to come, as in this case, and let the employer know. What they need to do is make sure that it's not impacting on the workplace. Some of the challenges that you may find is if one is a manager, for example, and one is an employee, and if there's pay reviews or performance reviews or bonuses, etc., you need to make sure that there's no favouritism being shown towards one over the other.
Yeah, I suppose it depends on the level.
Absolutely.
I mean, if there are two people on the same level within a team, maybe even competing with each other for sales or whatever it is,
yeah,
that's one thing. But if you've got a boss relationship with someone who's subservient to that boss, that's more difficult.
That's much more difficult to manage, and that's why the employer in this particular situation would need to keep an eye on it. So maybe, for example, if there are performance reviews, pay reviews, that they're actually involved in that process as well with that particular employee. Normally relationships in the workplace between two teams that are peers are fine unless they break up, and that may be a little bit more challenging in the workplace at times.
We have a really bad situation in work at the moment. We haven't had an increase in quite a while. It's a small enough business, but we don't really have a union. None of us want to rock the boat, but staff are leaving and it's difficult for the ones left behind. Would it not just be less expensive to keep the good people we have? A hospitality changeover is massive. It's in hospitality, obviously. So you have a situation where people are leaving because the money isn't good. Better to pay the good people more and keep them.
Yeah, so this is a challenge that not only in hospitality we see, but across the board in all different industries. There's quite a lot of movement in relation to employees, and it's definitely an employees' market. In that situation, it's probably best that they speak with the employer and see whether or not there is some availability to them. What we're seeing at the moment is that when there's no opportunity for pay increases because of a challenging economy, they're looking at things like, you know, training, development, that sort of area is what employers are doing as well now. So that may be an option for this particular individual.
John wants to know, what is the rule regarding vaping in the workplace?
So vaping is the same as smoking. So okay. You wouldn't be allowed to smoke inside, you wouldn't be allowed to vape inside. So the employees need to be made aware of it. And that includes not just your office environment, but for example, if somebody was driving for work, technically speaking, that's the place of work.
So they shouldn't be vaping in the van?
Yeah, vaping in the van either.
And what about when people go outside for a smoke? I mean, there has been a kind of a tacit thing where people are allowed to take smoking breaks. That gives rise to resentment from those who don't smoke.
Yeah, it does. Absolutely. So it's keeping that to a minimum and maybe allowing the other employees to have an extra tea break or coffee break or something like that to try and get that balance right. So there is no animosity between both parties.
And if somebody says, for example, I'm trying to give up the fags, that's why I'm vaping. So this is a medical kind of intervention.
Well, smoking, vaping, they're probably just interchangeable, to be honest with you. Either way, it's still leaving the place of work and taking a break that other employees may not be getting.
Another question here. Conflict in the workplace. Who polices the police? I was working in a job for 10 years, won awards for my work, and a new manager was appointed. She was aggressive, accusative, and so on. How do you deal with a hyper-aggressive boss, even after it was reported to HR? It's not easy when your manager is the bully.
So in that particular situation, what you need to do is, one, they approached HR, but maybe if HR haven't done anything, to approach a more senior manager or director in the business and have a conversation with them in relation to addressing it. Sometimes in bigger organisations, we'll have what's called a support contact person. So that will be somebody who is not necessarily in HR or of management level, but will be able to direct and guide the individual on how to address that particular issue. The other thing is, employers should naturally be doing training in relation to dignity, respect in the workplace and how those situations should be managed.
Is the employer allowed to stop paying if you've got COVID? Because, you know, in the old days, you came in, you worked your way through your coughs and sneezes and that was fine. After COVID, employers start saying, if you're coughing, sneezing, don't come in. And if they say to you, don't come in, even though you feel quite well, can they withdraw your pay?
So COVID should be managed the same way as any other type of sick leave or when somebody can't come to work. We still have the restrictions in place in relation to when somebody tests positive for COVID. However, it should be managed as any other absence. It shouldn't be differentiated.
As an employer, I don't remember marches looking for additional sick leave. It's a horrendous burden on small businesses, one of many placed on them by this government. And they wonder why so many small businesses are closing. That's from Michael in Cork. I mean, there was no demand for this extra statutory sick pay, was there? It just was something the government came up with.
I suppose the thing was, we were completely out of kilter with the rest of Europe in that we were the only ones that didn't have any sort of sick pay in place. So that made it an outlier. The other thing is that employees are more likely to go to an employer that has got certified sick pay in
place.
And
in an era of full employment.
Absolutely. It can be something that will differentiate you between somebody who's paying them sick leave and somebody who's
and
not.
And typically in Europe, who pays for all of the sick leave? Is it the employer or does government step in?
Okay, so the statutory sick pay that is now in place is paid by the employer, but it is capped at 70% of the employee's wages and it's for 5 days. After that, the employer is under no obligation to pay any more. And that will increase, as I said, over the next couple of years. Some employers will have an enhanced sick pay and the employer will pay that as well.
Any advice on how employees can negotiate more annual leave? What is the standard? We have 21 days, which currently seems low.
So currently the statutory entitlement is 4 working weeks for your normal working week.
So it's 20 days.
20 days, yeah, thereabouts.
Plus bank holidays,
plus your bank holidays as well. At the moment, so the 21 is slightly above that. Similar, I would approach the employer, see if there's any room for negotiation. And it may be that they look at, you know, getting something back in return. So maybe higher productivity, etc. So it comes down to a negotiation between the employee and the employer.
Any idea of how to do something about a bad manager? I feed back to them and they monitor me, but I've reported it to HR and there seems to be nothing they can do about a bad manager.
Again, the manager obviously has to report into somebody else. So I would suggest that this person speaks with the employer, lays out their concerns and see if there's a way that they can resolve the issues amicably.
I've been with the company for 2 years and on a salary on a 39-hour contract. Am I entitled to overtime if I work over the 39 hours a week that I'm contracted to do?
So it depends on what's actually written in the contract. So legally in Ireland, you have a maximum working hour of 48 hours per week.
But if your contract says 39,
but sometimes in that contract, it may say that you are required to work above and beyond this to meet business needs and you're remunerated overall as part of that 39 hours. So it's very much dependent on what is in the contract.
That's a cheat, isn't it? That it's 39 hours a week, there you go. But if the company needs you to work 48 hours, because that's the maximum permitted, you may be required to do so without any extra pay.
It will depend on the circumstances. So, for example, if somebody's in a senior role, maybe on a high salary, et cetera, like that, it may be all taken into consideration when the salary is actually being set.
Hiya, I've been overlooked for promotion on a number of occasions. I am good at my job, but there are a lot of people who are friends higher up in the business, so they keep it all between themselves. I don't want to leave, but it seems inevitable.
I would suggest that they ask for feedback. So when they go through an interview process or there's new roles that come out, see why they're not getting the role, if they've gone through an interview process or they have approached somebody. Sometimes it's also beneficial that if you know somebody is hiring within a particular area of your business, that you approach them to start off with and say, look, do you think I will be suitable for this role? What skill sets do you think I require? And see if you can develop your skills to meet the role that you'd like to move into as well.
Yeah, I think it's probably something that people come across again and again, that you get this kind of cliques of people building up and they mind each other, they look after each other.
And that's why it's important to get that feedback, so you can say the next time when that happens, they say, okay, well, this is what you taught me to do and this is what I've done, and try and hone your skills, I suppose, to fit what the next role may be that comes up.
All right, Moira, thank you very much for joining us. Moira Grassick, Chief Operating Officer at Peninsula Ireland. And
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.